Yes, because Pope Benedict XVI is almost ready to leave for the United States of America, the destination of his 8th apostolic journey abroad since the beginning of his papacy in April 2005. The Pope sets off tomorrow, Tuesday the 15th of April, for Washington, where he will meet with political, religious, and academic representatives. He then flies to New York, where he will spend a morning at the United Nations before visiting a synagogue, meeting with the youth, and praying at Ground Zero. His packed program draws to a close on Sunday, the 20th of April, when he boards the papal plane at 8 in the evening, to arrive back in the Vatican on Monday morning. Pope Benedict will be the third pope to set foot on North American soil. Before him, Paul VI in 1965, and John Paul II, who went there 7 times. The person who is travelling with the Pope on this trip is our director, Sean Patrick Lovett. You can imagine how busy he has been in the last few days, but he did agree to sit down with me in my microphone and give me some fundamental information regarding the journey.
It's important to remember that the reason the Pope decided to go to the United States in the first place was because he'd been invited to speak at the United Nations. That invitation came from Kofi Annan and was repeated and confirmed by Ban Ki-moon. So it started out as a visit to the United Nations. Third pope in history to do so, an opportunity to address a world global political forum, so an invitation that the Pope really wanted to accept. Clearly, he's the head of the Catholic Church, and so he can't just go and talk with the United Nations. He has to meet and greet the Church in the United States. And the Church in the United States has its headquarters in Washington, D.C. That's where the USCC, the Bishops' Conference, has its headquarters. It's his first visit as Pope, and so there's a political aspect to it as well. And the government of the United States has its headquarters in Washington, D.C. So that's how it was set up, a visit to Washington, a visit to New York, and then all the bits and pieces besides, all the subcategories, if you like, all the different groups who want to see him, whom he wants to meet, and so forth. But basically, a balance between Washington and New York.
All the different groups and subcategories, as Sean calls them, who exactly are they, I asked.
Well, there are three main categories. Speaking to the United Nations, the Pope is speaking to the world. Speaking to groups of people, speaking to the U.S. president, giving public addresses, he's speaking to the people of the United States, regardless of their religious affiliation. And then the other category, when he speaks to Catholic educators or when he's giving a public mass, he's speaking to the Catholics of the United States. So there are these three major categories. And then there are groups within that. Within the Catholic group, he following on the footsteps of John Paul II, he wants to meet with young people. The program is very skillfully put together. I mean, if you think that when John Paul II made his first visit to the States in 1979, he did 7 cities in 7 days, and he gave 63 speeches. Benedict XVI is visiting 2 cities in 6 days, and he's giving 11 speeches. So it's very pared down. Everything is carefully selected. So he greets an ecumenical group. He greets a non-Christian interreligious group. He greets seminarians. He greets religious. He greets educators. These are the subcategories that I mean.
And what, I asked Sean, do you expect the highlight of the trip to be?
The highlight is when he goes to the United Nations. And that's, as I said, that's why he's going there. So that's the focus of it. That's going to be, I think, a very interesting speech to listen to. A lot of speculation about what is the Pope going to say? What's he going to say that was different to what John Paul II said, having addressed the United Nations twice? And I think the key is the fact that this year is the 60th anniversary of the Declaration of Human Rights. And there's so many points in there. And I think that it's very likely that that will be the basis, and all of religious freedom, religious tolerance, a global moral sense that he's trying to communicate to the world. There are clues even in his discourse to the new ambassador from the United States to the Holy See, to Mary Ann Glendon. If you go and look at that discourse, there are points there as well.
So I decided to do just that, and discovered that in February this year, when the Pope officially welcomed the new US ambassador to the Holy See, he said he was looking forward to this pastoral visit to the United States. I also discovered that my colleague, Chris Altieri, had reported on that event, and this is what he said.
The Pope said, from the dawn of the Republic, America has been a nation which values the role of religious belief in ensuring a vibrant and ethically sound democratic order. The Holy Father said today this task of forging a common vision and summoning the moral energy to accomplish it has become an urgent priority for the whole human family, which is increasingly aware of its interdependence and the need for effective solidarity in meeting global challenges and building a future of peace for coming generations. Pope Benedict said the American people's historic appreciation of the role of religion in shaping public discourse and in shedding light on the inherent moral dimension of social issues, a role, he said, is at times contested in the names of a straitened understanding of political life and public discourse, is reflected in the efforts of so many of America's citizens and government leaders to ensure legal protection for God's gift of life from conception to natural death, and the safeguarding of the institution of marriage, acknowledged as a stable union between a man and a woman, and that of the family. The Pope said progress in the human family is threatened not only by the plague of international terrorism, but also by such threats to peace as the quickening pace of the arms race and the continuance of tensions in the Middle East. Pope Benedict expressed his hope that patient and transparent negotiations will lead to the reduction and elimination of nuclear weapons, and that the recent Annapolis conference will be the first of a series of steps toward lasting peace in the Middle East. The resolution of these and similar problems, said Pope Benedict, calls for trust in and commitment to the work of international bodies such as the United Nations Organization, which by their nature are capable of fostering genuine dialogue and understanding, reconciling divergent views, and developing multilateral policies and strategies capable of meeting the manifold challenges of our complex and rapidly changing world.
So, protecting human dignity, eliminating poverty, and promoting peace were at the core of that speech, and my thanks go to Chris Altieri for that dense report. But Sean, I said, you've been on all the previous popes' journeys to the United States. How do you expect this one to be different?
This trip will be different because the person is different. And if you look at what the American press is saying, they're constantly playing up these two characters and saying, well, there's a famous line, if John Paul II hadn't become Pope, he would have become a movie star. And if Benedict XVI hadn't become Pope, he would have been a university professor. And this sort of, which is sort of fun for the tabloids, but when it comes down to it, each one of them has a very specific way of presenting their message. It's about communication, isn't it? It's not just the message. The message comes through the person, and the person is the result of his experience, his culture, his upbringing. Two more different men you couldn't expect to find. And so it's just going to be a different kind of message because it comes from a different kind of man.